And welcome to It's Just a Conversation, a sales conversation, what to say and how to say it for sales success. We're your hosts, Trish Carr and my fabulous co-author, Debbie Silverman. And in this program, you'll gain greater confidence and stronger skills so that your products and services can make the big impact you want them to make in the world and in your bank account. You know that what you have makes a difference. And it makes a big difference. So, of course, you want to get to the most people as possible and make the biggest impact. And in return, you're paid what that product or service and what you are worth. And no matter how long you've been in business, whether as an entrepreneur working in your own business or as an intrapreneur working in someone else's, by doing the work in this teleworkshop and applying what you learn in your professional life, you'll experience a greater measure of sales success. And you know that sales is the number one way you grow your business and the number one way you increase your impact in the world. And while I know you're not all about sales and not all about the money, the reality is that a key way to measure the difference you're making is by how much you sell of what it is you offer. And you can only continue making that impact. You can only make that difference you want to make by getting your products and services out to more people. So congratulations for taking it on, for saying, yes, I want to be the best I can be. As you know, the program covers four sales areas. Module one, ditch the pitch, how to create sizzling sales presentations. Number two was fortune is in the follow-up and how to convert those suspects to prospects to customers. In this module, we'll be talking about nobody gets in to see the wizard, not nobody. And we're going to be giving you some ruby slipper strategies to get past the gatekeeper. And then the last module is all about asking for what you're worth and getting it because you're worth it. So as you know, in the first part of our sessions, Debbie and I will be sharing some processes and strategies. And in today's session, we'll be sharing several strategies on how to get past the gatekeeper. And after sharing those processes and strategies, we're going to open up the lines and be interactive with your questions. And there's gold in there, so make sure you're on the line for that. That's when we can work with your specific situations. In fact, I'm going to put the Q&A on, and we'll put on the Q&A. And at any time, you can hit *6 on your phone and get in the queue, and we'll open it up. But I'll let you know when the time is that we'll be taking some questions and some real-world scenarios. So I know you had a choice to be a part of this program, and the fact that you're here does say a lot about you. And it says that you're someone who wants to be the best you can be. So if it's okay, I'm going to just offer a couple of suggestions so that you can make the most of the workshop. First, be present. Do your best to stay away from your computer. I know how easy it is to fall into multitasking. You don't mean to, but it happens. I can relate. So do your best to stay away from it, unless, of course, you're taking notes. And even then, be careful about that multitasking. And take notes, obviously. The more you can take notes, there's something magical that happens when you actually regurgitate somehow on the page, whether it's typing or writing, what it is you're hearing. You actually get to keep the information longer. So take some notes. Be sure that you jot down any questions that come up, and we will answer them. And if we don't, and we can, you can always email us directly. Keep an open mind. Remember, these fundamentals are fundamentals. They don't change. Some of these will be a refresher. Some of these will be, wow, I never thought of that. I hope there'll be a lot of, wow, I never thought of that. And there'll be some things that you've certainly heard before. So keep an open mind. And then the last thing is be involved. Each week we recommend some exercises so that you can really incorporate what it was we talked about and actually make it happen and bring it up in your life. So do those exercises. And I also recommend listening to the audio again and again because, you know, one of my favorite expressions is repetition is the mother of retention. And you know how you, when you hear something over and over again, you really, really take it in. And since we're talking about, the other thing is focus, and that's what I'm trying to get to is here. With doing the exercises, listening to the recording again, and staying off multitasking, it's really about getting some focus. So since we're talking about focus, It's a key ingredient to accomplishing anything, especially in sales. And as you know, we use that acronym FOCUS throughout the book, It's Just a Conversation. So we want to invite you to always focus when it comes to sales. So Debbie, I'm going to invite you to share about focus as we go into this evening's session.
Thank you. One thing I want to share with everybody is, you know, we put this stuff in the book. I do it every time I have a conversation, whether it's sales or whatever conversation it is. I always focus first. And really what that means is the F is finish first. Think of the outcome you want to achieve. What is your goal? What do you want at the end of the conversation? For O, it's observe. And you can observe something about the person you're about to speak with by doing some detective work online. And what we're suggesting is that you go to Facebook, go to LinkedIn, check out their business page, see what they're all about, see what projects they're working on. You never know what gems you'll find in that information. And C is clarify. Prepare possible questions before you have your conversation. U is use the information. Use the information you learned and practice it in a mirror speaking to gatekeepers. So pretend like you're speaking to somebody. And S, I find this one to be the most important one for me, and that's stay in the moment. If you allow your mind to be in the moment, you will hear and see and feel everything that's around you. Mm-hmm. If you are off thinking about your next sentence or what else, something else you have to do, you're not in the moment, and you lose out on what the other person is telling you and basically saying to you and how you can sell them. So that's why we use focus. And again, take a look at it in your book if you don't remember, if you didn't jot it down. Those are very important elements to a successful conversation.
Yep, awesome. Love that stay in the moment especially, because we tend to have in our heads what I'm going to say next instead of really being there and listening to the other person. So that's a very big one. Thank you so much, Deb.
Welcome.
Awesome. So let's talk about gatekeepers. And I love the concept of the ruby slipper strategies and all of that, because many of you know The Wizard of Oz is one of my all-time favorite movies. And when I was thinking about this, you know, I was thinking about when you're attempting to reach a decision maker, sometimes I really feel like Dorothy the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Lion all trying to get in to see the wizard. It's not always easy. And that guard, if you remember that guard with the big mustache, he makes you prove that you're worthy to see the great and powerful Oz. And that's really what it's like in business. It's very much the same. The gatekeeper's there to protect their boss from time suckers. The biggest thing I found with high-level people is that time is their number one resource, and they protect it by guarding their schedule from interruptions of any kind. And my friends, you are an interruption for them, and that's really the way they look at it. So the gatekeeper, and you know who the gatekeepers are. They're people who might be titled executive assistant or administrative aide, executive secretary, even receptionists. They're highly trusted partners to the person you want to meet, so always keep that in mind. When you reach a gatekeeper, you're reaching a highly respected partner, and treat them as such. And that's often where people really blow it, is because they don't show that respect for the gatekeeper. So before we get into the strategies, let's start at the beginning. And before you even consider what you're going to say to the gatekeeper, the first thing you want to focus on is what you'll say to that high-level person. And that can often cause an outbreak of CEObia. CEObia, that was one that Debbie Silverman came up with.
I love that term.
Great job, great word. And really, according to us, CEObia is the fear of speaking to a C-level, like a CEO, a COO, or to anybody who has a lot of letters after their name, you know, anyone that causes you to feel just a little anxious or intimidated. I know people say to me, well, he's a lawyer or he's a doctor or, you know, she's a high-level COO, and it doesn't really matter. For some reason, oftentimes we get a little anxious or intimidated. And if you think about it, why is there any trepidation about talking to these people? My mother used to tell me that they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do. They're just like us. They want to work with people they know, like, and trust, just like we do. So consider looking for a way to create that know, like, and trust immediately. We had a client who was trying to get into the president of a major bank. It was actually Bank America. And he did, this client did real estate. And he wanted to get into this big CE. This guy was like in charge of all of, you know, in foreclosures, how the sometimes the property goes back to the bank. Well, that department is called REO, and I think it's called real estate owned is what it stands for. So he was a real estate investor. He wanted to get in touch with Bank of America because they were getting literally thousands of properties all the time coming back in foreclosure. So he wanted to figure out a way that he could get in. And I'm not talking just the COO or the CEO or the ROI department of the local bank. I'm talking the guy who handles for all of Bank America all of the returned real estate. That's who he wanted to get to. And he set his intention that that's who he was going to go and find. And he just kept showing up in places. And within a couple of weeks, he also, I must say, he also did the Science of Getting Rich program, which many of you are familiar with, which helps you to set your intention to open yourself up to receive what the world wants to give you. So he was at a meeting, regular networking meeting, and he ran into a woman he knew and started sharing that this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to meet the department head for ROIs at Bank of America, and the woman said, "You'll never guess, but I actually know the guy. And here's how you reach him, and here's the name and the number." So all he got was, finally, I got the name of the person who handles all of this. And what he did was he went online, and he sent an email after he went online because he found out really great stuff. And I'll share a little bit more about that as we get into tonight's conversation. Because the key is, it's not just about getting past the gatekeeper. It's about how you're showing up in the world, in your life, with intentionality. Once you know that this is what you want, and you feel it, and you have it in your being, and you see it happening with the faith that it will, magical things happen. So who knew that he was going to run into a woman that he hadn't seen in a very long time, and who knew that that woman would know the name of the gentleman that he wanted to get in touch with? So that's what you want to do, is be as intentional as possible. So a couple of tips, and many of these you may know, when you're talking with one of those high-level decision makers, you can improve your chances of success by remembering a couple of things. Number one is focus on their business and about them and what they want. I had a client once who was doing a presentation to General Mills, a cereal company, and she worked for she worked for Telemundo, which is, as you know, the big Latin TV station. And the idea was to get General Mills to spend more money on advertising. So I went over to support her in creating her presentation, and she said, "I got it all together. Come on in and watch me. Let me show you what I did." And she stood up and she did it. And I said, "It's a great presentation. The only thing is, it's all about Telemundo. There wasn't anything in there about General Mills." So we got online, and we Googled everything we could find out about General Mills, about the CEO that she was meeting with, about everything she could find out. And we adjusted the presentation. We found that really cool that General Mills had many of the same words in their mission statement as Telemundo had. So she readjusted everything. The first thing that they saw when she went there, the CEO saw, was the mission statement of General Mills. Not the mission statement of her business, but the mission statement of General Mills. And all the way throughout the presentation, she would talk about things that were happening in General Mills. She would bring up things that she saw about the CEO, what college he went to, what his favorite charity is. She made it all about him. Now, she was the first of four executives to speak. She was also the lowest on the totem pole. Because of the way she connected with their business, every single time the speakers after her were speaking and the CEO had a question, he would lean in and he would ask this woman, what do you think about that? Is that a good idea? What's your take on that? She made an amazing, amazing impression because she made it about their business. So make it about their business. That's what the focus is.
Can I share a story, too? I'd like
sure.
to share. One of my clients is a very, very large advertising agency, and I wanted to get in touch with the CEO. Actually, it wasn't a client. It was a contact. And I got the contact by playing golf with his mother. And I met her, and I told her what I did. I said, I own a market research company. And she said, oh, that's very interesting. I said, why? She said, because my son is the CEO of Ogilvy & Mather North America, which if you don't know advertising, it's one of the largest advertising agencies in the world. And I'm like, oh, my God. And my mouth dropped to the floor, and I got nervous about the conversation. What am I going to say? And then I realized I went online, did exactly what we're suggesting that you guys do. I went online, and I took a look at his LinkedIn profile, and I learned that he is very much into networking. So when I made the phone call, of course, I was able to use his mother's name. That really helped a lot. And I had a conversation with him about networking and how golf is like the ultimate in networking. And it just smoothed the way. And by having that extra information, I was able to find out more about what his needs are and to focus on his business mm-hmm. because I was able to open up the conversation that he felt comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. And it certainly helped that you had a referral. It always helps when you have a referral, obviously.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so we'll talk about both tonight. We're going to talk about whether you have a referral or you don't and give you some tips on that. But clearly, it's about them. So personalize every contact. Be confident in your product and your service and yourself. Master that 30-second introduction and that 30-second response because they're busy. If you've ever watched the Shark Tank, they want you to answer the question and not go around the bush. So master the 30-second intro and the 30-second response. Talk to them as peers. Don't be starstruck. You want to always be on an equal footing. And one of the things they really enjoy is when you share with them how other businesses who are similar companies, how they've tackled very much the same challenges that you're facing. So tonight what I want to do is I want to give you 8 strategies to get past the gatekeeper. Now, most of these are business-to-business strategies. Obviously, you're going to be calling a gatekeeper. There's also that gatekeeper called a spouse and the gatekeeper called the partner. In reality, most of those you hear about the I got to check with my wife, I got to check with my partner after you've made the presentation or the proposal. So it's really, we're going to be getting into that a little bit tonight, and that's really dealing with concerns or objections, as they're called. So tonight we're going to give you 8 strategies to get past the gatekeeper, and then we're going to give you some strategies when the gatekeeper is a partner, a husband, or a wife, and you've already made the presentation, and now you're getting the stall. So first strategy is aim high. And what I mean by that is find the key decision maker and invest your energy in getting to that person, not to the people below. Because remember, influence flows downward. When you begin with the right person at the right level, you're going where you want to go, and you'll probably cut down the number of people you have to talk to. When you begin with the boss, most likely they're going to refer you to the right manager to talk to. Only this time you're talking to the middle manager with the boss's direction, and now you'll be listened to with respect. So aim high. Find out who is the key decision maker, and that's where you go is to try to speak to that person. Second thing, treat gatekeepers like gold. I already mentioned this because those people are gold. They're trusted partners. And recognize that and treat the assistant or the gatekeeper like the resource they can invariably turn out to be. Let them know how much you appreciate their professionalism and their assistance. And let them know you'll be sending a note of appreciation to their boss because that's what's in it for them, isn't it, ultimately? Do they really care necessarily as much as the as the owner does about growing the business and all of the things that we'll be talking to them about? No, the gatekeeper has something else in mind. Make me look good. So let them know and then follow through with that note. So, you know, you want to really, really remember their gold. And some of you know this story. One of my great mentors and coaches, Dwayne Cummings, shared with us a story about a gatekeeper. When he was younger and working in sales, he was at a customer, and right down the street from that customer was another potential customer who was already dealing with the competition. And they had been working with the competition for so long, they were considered untouchable. Like, nobody is going to be able to get into that company to get them to switch. And many of Dwayne's associates and partners in the sales group had tried to get in but didn't. So you tell Dwayne that he can't get in, and guess what Dwayne's going to do? He's going. He was only down the street, and he decided he was going to go. So he went to this business, and he walks in, and it's your typical, you know, you walk in and the receptionist is in the front. And she was a woman, probably, he said, in her 50s or so. And a lovely woman, and he put on a big smile, and he went up and he introduced himself. Hey, I'm Dwayne Cummings. How you doing? I'm with this company. Here's my card. And he said to her, I know that you're doing business with ABC Company. I understand that. But someday you may need me. Someday they may not be able to fill an order. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to just check in with you every once in a while. And she looked at him with one of those faces like, it's never going to happen. But she said, okay, that's fine if you want to. So he left, and he came back again a few weeks later. Now, when he came back again the second time, he remembered that when he was in there, it was around the holidays, that she had all these little snowmen that she had around her desk. Like, it looked like she almost collected snowmen. So guess what Dwayne brought her? A little snowman. And while she was impressed, it wasn't going to change anything. But he brought her that, and he said, look, you know, I noticed that you like these. My wife, true story, my wife actually has a lot of these snowmen, too, and she loves them. So I found this one, and I thought you would like it. So she took it, and it was great, and loved it, all that stuff. But still, she looked at him and with the look like, yeah, but you're not going to be able to bribe me. Well, the story goes for the next few weeks. Every time he's in the neighborhood, he stops by. Now it's Valentine's Day. In Dwayne's world, on Valentine's Day, every woman in his life gets a red rose. Every woman, all of the gatekeepers, all of the receptionists, every woman he does business with. So he takes this woman a red rose, and he said something like, you know, you probably don't get recognized for how great you are, and I just want you to know I appreciate you, or something like that, whatever it was. And the woman took it, and she was really, you know, smiling and pleased about it, and that was it. The next day, he gets a phone call from the woman who said that her boss would like for him to come in and talk to him. And the way she said it, it sounded kind of like she was terse, if you will, you know, like a little bit direct, and she wasn't friendly, in other words. So he's like, oh, my gosh, what did I do? Did I go over the top giving her a rose? Did I say something that might have made her feel like I was hitting on her? Who knows? His mind, you know how our mind tells us all this stuff? So his mind is telling him, oh, my gosh, I did the wrong thing. I shouldn't have done that. He goes down to the office the next day. She says, well, come on in. And she brings him into the owner's office, and he sits down. The owner's not there, so he's sitting waiting in the office. Next thing you know, he hears clump, clump, clump down the hallway, and it's the owner and the gatekeeper both coming in, and both of them had pretty straight faces. And he's freaking out a little bit, you know, oh, my gosh, what did I do? So the gentleman sat down and said, nice to meet you. He said, I just wanted you to come in here because I had to tell you that no one in the whole time that I've been in this business has ever shown the respect and the kindness and the appreciation that you showed to my mother.
I love that story.
My mother. I almost don't even have to tell you that the following year, that account became Dwayne's biggest account. because he didn't look past the gatekeeper. And I learned a valuable lesson in that. And that is, when you treat people as if they're the one, they really are the one. So love that story. Yeah, I love that story too. So treat gatekeepers like gold. That's number two. Number three, use email and social media to your advantage. And Debbie was going to talk about this a little bit.
When you send out, before you send out an email, as I said, go online. Find out some information about them. Find out something that you could use to create the conversation. And there's so many good tidbits, whether it's on Facebook or LinkedIn, depending on your business. And again, make it about them. So when you're writing an email or going online, look for ways. Be creative. Think outside the box, if you will, and think about, okay, this is what I do for my business. How would that impact them? What can I do for them that will help their business? So always look at it from their perspective. You know, put yourself in their shoes, kind of thing, and that'll help you creating the emails, and it'll also help create that relationship that you want.
Yeah, yeah. Social media is your friend. Social media is your friend. So find the address, go online, connect with them in social media first. Another thing is consider just sending an introductory message that doesn't sell but just points out the challenge or problem they may be having and that you would like to explore options to solve it. And be real. You can say something like, I know you hear sales pitches all the time. What makes this one different? And then you can explain what makes it different. So you might say something like, what makes this one different? Me. My experience, my knowledge, my ability to see what many people who are closest to the challenge can't see. I've worked with thousands of people who've experienced similar challenges and are now experiencing whatever the opposite is. So I might say, for example, I worked with dozens of business owners or hundreds of business owners who are challenged with retaining customers. Because when you retain and keep them, then you have more opportunity to make money with your customers you're retaining. Now, that being said about sending an email, that's exactly what happened in the situation with my client who was in real estate. He did the research, he got online, and he found out something really cool, and that is that they both went to the same college. And in this case, it was Notre Dame. And that's one of those kind of like you're in the Marines and you're a brother for life. Well, that school is the same way. So what he did was he did write an email, and in the subject line of the email, he put something like the secret handshake or the secret code about the Fighting Irish. And literally within 10 minutes of getting the email, the department head called him on the telephone. So if you can find the right connection, the right commonality, then you will definitely get in front of them if you can really use social media that way to your advantage. So, you know, you can also keep going and going until you get in. But hopefully you find something that gets you there. I had a guy when I was running a title company, and every month he used to come in with cookies, every month. And we were not using them for surveying, but every month he came in, and month after month after month. And eventually, guess what happened? My other guy couldn't do something for me quickly, so I gave a shout out to this one. He stood on his head to make it happen, and he got my business. Debbie, you did something cool with trying to get in, right?
It's similar to your cookie story. What happened with me was I had a contact. I was given a referral, a name, and for some reason the CEO would not take my calls. He would not see me. He would not take my calls, even with the referral. And I said, you know what? Okay, fine. I'm going to bring a box of Dunkin' Donuts in. And when I went in, I spoke to the receptionist. I said, I wanted to drop this off for you guys because I don't know if you really get a chance to have any snacks during the day. So here's a treat. And in the card I wrote, look, I want to make a sweet deal with you. it was hokey, you know, it was crazy. And I actually had fun doing it because I was thinking, you know what? What's the worst that can happen? They enjoy the donuts and that's that, right? So that's the worst that could happen. So and I went back to my car and I was getting ready to go home and I got a call on my cell phone. And the call was from the receptionist saying that the CEO would like to make an appointment with me. All of a sudden those donuts worked really quickly. And that he wanted to make an appointment with me and that, you know, could we decide on a date? So P.S., I made a date with them. I went in. I spoke to them about their research questions, and I was able to put a research proposal together for them. And I have to thank Dunkin' Donuts for that because it really was a sweet deal.
Right, a sweet deal. It was very good. I love that story. So lots of fun ways that you can get in. Look for some commonalities. Be nice to the gatekeeper. That's key. Number four I want to share with you is come across with authority. What I'm going to suggest is that you're business friendly. You know, because most assistants are taught to protect decision makers, really screen the call so the decision makers only have to speak with the people they want to speak with, it's very likely the assistant's been given strict instructions with who to put through and who not to put through. So I've oftentimes find that when I come across business-friendly with authority in my voice, so if you know the name of the decision-maker, you always want to use it, right? So if they answer the phone, hi, ABC Company, this is Mary, let's say, you'd say, hi, Mary, big smile on your face, right? Good morning, this is Trish Carr. Please put me through to Mary Smith. And you'll be pleasantly surprised at how often that just works. If Mary has her call screened, you may be asked for your name or what it's regarding, and you can say, I'm Trish Carr, and I'm calling regarding whatever it is. And you might say something like a benefit of your product or service, not a feature, not a name, but a benefit. So you might say, I'm calling regarding saving the company money on employee health care benefits, or I might be calling regarding increasing profits through technology, improving the company's image in the marketplace is always a good one. So some kind of a benefit. And if you can tie your benefit to something that might benefit the screener, all the better. If they suspect you're calling about something that might make their job easier or more fun or provide added benefits to them as an employee, they'll be quick to connect you. So, for example, I might say, hi, I'm Trish Carr, and I'm calling regarding increasing the company's profits with technology that will also reduce aggravation for the people who work with it. Taking a shot in the dark that this person might be working with technology, and that statement, reduce aggravation for the people who work with it, might get me in there. In situations where you're cold calling and you don't know the name of the decision maker, you might start with, hi, Ann, I'm Trish Carr, and I'm calling regarding your telephone system. Who in your company is responsible for that? Just literally ask in that way. And if you didn't get the name, by the way, who am I speaking with? You always want to get their name because the more you use it, the sweeter they are. People love the sound of their own name because you want to make this a personal conversation. And you want to enlist that person's aid in getting you through. So use their name. That always makes it more personal.
I love that tip, Trish. That's a great tip for any conversation. The more you use the person's name, the better off the conversation goes. That's great.
Right. Awesome. Number five is ask for help. When you think about it, when you ask someone for help, they feel important. They want to help. They want to contribute. It's tough for most people to turn down a request for help. So use it to your advantage. So let's say you call ABC Company and it's, hi, good morning, Ann. This is Trish Carr. I really need your help. Who in your company would I talk to regarding the telephone system? That's another approach that oftentimes gets you in. So the gatekeeper might say, just give you the name of the person, and then you'll say, thank you. Would you please put me through to them with authority in your voice? Right? So some of you have been gatekeepers. The other thing you can do is relate to them on that level. You know, I might say something like, I understand you hear this all day long. I have the greatest widget in the world, or I got the thing that's going to change your company, and I know that your job is to keep me away. I totally get that. I personally have done the same thing. I used to work for a company, and my boss never would take calls, and it kind of got hard on me. I bet you can relate to that, right? So have a conversation. Relate at that level, and sometimes that'll make you get through. Number six, and I alluded to this already, was write a thank you note. When you finish your initial call, take a moment to write a note to the gatekeeper. Mailing it is ideal. Email is okay. You know, if you think about it, assistants and receptionists probably don't get a lot of recognition in most companies. In fact, it's been my experience that they rarely get recognition. So by sending a simple note, you'll make their day and you'll win them over for the next time you ask for help. So you might say something in the note like, "Dear Ann, I enjoyed talking with you on the telephone today." It's so important for companies to understand that the first impression of them is when someone answers the phone. You do a wonderful job. Thank you in advance for all your help. How could she not want to let me in? Even if it's going to take me four or five more phone calls, I'm going to be that friendly, that appreciative every single time. Number seven is take control of the process. When the decision maker doesn't take your call immediately, they may ask you to leave a message trying to get more information about why you're calling. In essence, they're trying to size you up. You don't have to go into a lot of detail. You're not trying to sell the assistant on your business, just on yourself. That's so important. You're selling yourself to the gatekeeper. So rather than, you know, leaving a message, I always say something like, "Mary, I'm in and out a good bit during the day, and I'm sure that she's very busy." So rather than have her waste her time trying to reach me, I can just call her back. When's the best time to reach her? Great question, right? So make sure you ask that question. If she's not sure she can't answer that, simply say, "Please leave a message that Trish Carr called regarding increasing profit to the company, and then I'll call back later today." So something real succinct like that. Number eight is my favorite. Avoid the gatekeeper altogether. Just avoid the gatekeeper altogether. I want to share with you a strategy that works very well. You know, you have an administrator there whose job it is to keep unnecessary distractions away from high-level decision makers. If your prospects are high-level, as they should be, then they'll likely have one of these people to protect them from us. So gatekeepers, when they do their jobs right, they're not going to be easy to get past, which, by the way, is another thing you can continuously compliment them on. But here's the thing. Most administrators work some version of a 9-to-5, so most gatekeepers aren't even at the office early in the morning or during the evening. Now think about your high-level prospect, your CEO, your person running a company. Those people, on the other hand, work long hours. And many of us, in order to handle our workloads, generally get to the office early, like 7 or 7:30 in the morning, and many of them don't leave until 7 or 7:30 at night. Their most productive hours are that morning and that evening. And many high-level decision makers also come into the office a few Saturdays each month to catch up on work. So during these early mornings, late evenings, and Saturdays, they aren't being bombarded by distractions, and they're unguarded. So call them during those times. Now, I was working with a sales force who did just that. They were cold calling. We had 10 salespeople. Every single one of them was an outstanding prospector, and they consistently made cold calls with success. But what we found was that of the 10 salespeople who made prospecting calls outside the standard 9-to-5, they had about 30% more conversations with the high-level prospects than the people who were just calling between 9 and 5. So think about calling at other times, early in the morning and later in the day. The salespeople that were protecting outside of the standard 9-to-5 workday, the ones who were prospecting, also reported that prospecting was way less stressful since they really didn't have to deal much with gatekeepers. So think about that, morning, afternoon. So avoid the gatekeeper altogether with that strategy. And finally, when you reach the decision maker, you need to capture their interest and establish rapport. So one of the steps in rapport setting is to give them a sincere compliment. In business situations, it's so easy to just compliment them on the person who just put you through. So you could say something like, "Ms. Silverman, I'm Trish Carr. Thank you for taking my call." That's the first thing you want to say. "Thank you for taking my call. Anne was so helpful, and she represents your company very well." Now, even though that's not a compliment to the person that I'm speaking to, it's a compliment backhanded, left-handed to them and their company. So it's a really nice opening line, and it's a nice way to compliment people. So those are your 8 tips. Again, number 1 is aim high, find the right person, invest your energy there. Remember that influence flows downward. 2, treat your gatekeepers like gold. Number 3, use email and social media to your advantage. And when you find something great, use it in an email because maybe that person will call you back within 10 minutes. Number 4 is come across with authority. Business friendly is the operative word. Number 5, ask for help. Relate with the gatekeeper if you too have been a gatekeeper. Write a thank you note to the gatekeeper, thanking them for taking the time and giving them a compliment about how they do a great job. Number 7 is take control of the process, meaning find out when they are there and call them back. And number 8 is do your best to avoid the gatekeeper altogether. Consider different ways in the door, a few of which we've talked about this evening. So before we get into the gatekeeper being your husband, your wife, your partner, I'd like to open up the lines and get your thoughts on your situations, what gatekeeper things you've run into, what challenges, perhaps you have a good idea to share. So if you will, hit *6 on your telephone, and I will know that you're in the queue, and I'll open it up so that you can share your great idea or your question or your situation and get some feedback on it. So again, that's *6 on your telephone. *6, and the first caller is Dr. Teresa.
Oh, geez, that was fast.
I know. I'm fast on the finger, I am.
Yes, you are. I'm going to phrase this as clearly as I possibly can. In attempting to get through to a gatekeeper, I'm past the gatekeeper. I'm attempting to get an appointment with the individual and set it up with a third party, and I'm just not getting anywhere at all.
So you've gotten to the right department.
Correct.
And you've found the name of the person that you need to get an appointment with, but they don't have time to see you.
Correct.
Okay. So the same tactics apply, what we're saying here.
Okay.
Go ahead. Well, go ahead. Tell me more.
I keep trying to phrase every time I attempt to set up the meeting. I attempt to phrase to couch the whole proposal as a benefit to them, and I just don't think I'm hitting the right notes. I keep hitting things like, you know, here's an opportunity for more customers.
I think I'm missing something somewhere. Are they local?
Yes. Yes.
So have you considered inviting them to lunch?
No, I haven't.
Okay. That would be the next place I would... First of all, I would be doing all the
things... Even when their time's at a premium?
Well, they have to eat.
Oh, that's true.
Everybody has to eat. And I can bring lunch, if you like, and make it easier for you. Or I can pick you up. We can go out for a quick bite. A quick bite, because again, they don't have time.
Okay.
And invite them to lunch. All of that, though, being said, is that the other way you're getting in touch with them is hopefully you're thinking of things you can share with them that are information about their industry that might make a difference for them, an article of interest for them, and emailing them. So you're going to stay in front of them with an email or a note, in a handwritten note really makes a difference for many, many people. I know for me, if someone writes me a handwritten note, I'm more likely to say yes to them. Is that true for you?
It does get my attention.
Yes, it does, because most people don't take the time to do it. So a handwritten note like, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to us working together or us getting together to explore what we can do to increase your profits. So whatever words are coming out of your mouth, and just send that. Thank you for taking the time to speak to me. That's it. And then so we can talk about, I'm looking forward to getting together. And that's it. Don't ask when would be a good time. Write a note. And then follow it up with a phone call when you think they got the note.
Okay.
And then when you get the note, ask again for the appointment. And if they say no, then I would come back and I get friendly. I'm going to get friendly. I'm going to go, okay, so what can I do to influence you? How about this? I know you have to eat. How about if I bring you lunch and we just sit in your office? All we need is X amount of minutes. 30 minutes is good. Don't say a few because we know it's never going to be a few. 30 minutes, I'll bring you lunch. Or if you're up for it and you can get away, I'll take you out for a quick bite. Would Monday or Friday be better for you? Not how about that, not what do you think. Assume the sale. Would Monday or Friday be better for you? Give it a shot.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That handwritten note, and then keep your eyes open for things going on in their industry that you can share with them. You know, sending an email. Attached is an article I saw that I thought you might be interested in. That's it.
Dr. Teresa, one more thing I would suggest.
Please.
Remember to focus. Take yourself through the focus exercise.
Ah, okay. You're right.
You'll be better prepared.
Okay.
Awesome. Great question. Let us know Let us know what happens.
Will do. I appreciate you both. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
I'll go with helpful for everybody else out there as well.
Yes, thanks for asking that question.
Sure.
Okay, next we have, I just opened your line, 914 area code. Who is that?
Hi, it's Allison.
Hey, Allison.
Hi, guys. I just got to tell you, I loved every single second of this. You both really gave so many good things. It's just was so helpful. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You know, while we're at it, I would love to just check in. We're in the third module now, and I would love to check in with those of you who are on the line live and just give me an idea of what having this program has done for you. I would love to hear from you. If you can, and there's something you'd like to share and what difference this has made for you in your business and in your life, hit *6 on your phone, and I'll pick it up. Allison, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Okay. I did have a situation, though, that I did want to run by you.
Awesome. But go for it.
If that's okay. I just wanted to tell you that. But I do actually have a really interesting situation with FAU Medical School.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I was dealing with and having a relationship with the CEO, because I mean his title, his official title is that he's the chief operating officer, and I had met him at a mutual gathering, and he actually sought me out. What is that? I don't know. And I went up to the school. And we actually talked about bringing my health and wellness program into the medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And Trish, it was absolutely everything that you say. I was the friendly professional, but on their level,
mm-hmm.
kind of place while I was secretly inside saying to myself, you know, holy shit, this is a serious place. You know, and I clearly knew where I was, and I was a little bit awe of it, but I stepped up, and I think I did a real good job, and he and I spoke two or three times after that and about, you know, ways of moving forward and what could be holding it up right now, and I thought he was the man, and now it's turning out that I'm getting a sense that it's really not him, that it's really the dean of the school, because he disclosed to me, because he's actually getting buddy-buddy with me now. You know, we went from Mr. So-and-so to Robert to Bob.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going along the dance with, you know, with him, and it really does feel like a dance. And he says to, so I find out from him that the dean of the medical school actually has a life coach. And all the medical people, the executives, think that the dean is a little strange because all of a sudden he's not working so much and he's cutting his hours back and, you know, he's kind of living from a different place. So when Robert told me this, I said, well, Robert, we have to have lunch. I have to meet the dean. I mean, I just came right out and said that.
Mm-hmm.
And he shook his head and said, well, you know, we'll get him, we'll arrange it, we'll get him in, you know, and then he just kind of blew it off. And the other two conversations were really what's happening at the school, and I was just honoring that place of what they were going through before we moved forward on things. And now I'm feeling what was really where I was moving it closer. I feel like I'm at a little bit of a stumbling ground because of his hesitation because the school is going through some kind of official accreditation. But something is just telling me in my gut that I need to meet this dean, and I don't want to overstep. Certainly, mm-hmm. do not want to overstep my bounds here.
Right.
So it's feeling touchy, and I certainly respect your input here, you two.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Did you say that you asked Robert for his help?
For his help? Well, I didn't ask it to him that way. I need your help to speak to the dean because I've almost not assumed, but I've let him lead this relationship that we have,
right.
this communication.
Well,
and, you know, I just...
have you directly asked him, what do we need to do to get this approved?
That's good, Trish. No, I haven't.
Okay, so directly ask him, what do we need to do to get this approved? And he
that's
may
really
say,
good, yeah.
I have to talk to this one, or it's in this department, or that type of thing. And
uh-huh.
The next part we're going to talk about here is going to give you some thoughts on how to get that meeting.
Oh, well, that was, you know what, that was worth the price of admission because
yeah,
I, you know.
Be direct. And you know him well enough now and long enough now that you could ask. And you're not saying that he doesn't have authority. That's really important.
Right.
He needs to be a big shot in your eyes.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yes, and ego is very important there. So you want to make, what do we need to do to get this done? Who do we need to speak to? What department? Not that, and it's a we. It's a we now because he's your advocate. What do
right.
we need to do to move this forward? Who do we have to talk to? And then get, and that'll tell you where you're really at.
Gotcha.
You'll be able to tell.
No.
He may, who knows? Maybe he's hitting on you, huh?
you know what? No, that like crossed my mind for like 20 seconds. And
yeah.
then I don't know. But I find that sometimes I don't think of me as getting lost for words, but in those
right.
situations, I'm not really certain of the best way to bridge that conversation.
Yeah.
And
just
so that
like
was
that.
Really helpful.
Just
okay.
like that.
Thank
Let
you.
Let us know how it goes.
I will.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Allison. I'm going to open the lines now for Miss Linda Allred. Miss Linda, welcome. You there, Linda? Can you hear us?
had myself on mute. Can you
hear
me?
There you go. You're out in nature, I know. You didn't
No, I'm inside now. It's dark here. Anyway, I was just thinking about what you're saying, you know, what have we got out of this? We all have it, at least I do, have a tendency to awfulize the situation. And, you know, in reality, the worst scenario, it's not what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, we just tend to awfulize. And if you come from, like you're saying, and a spirit of wanting to help people, you know, and all the different scenarios that you got about how we can approach different people. You know, the whole course has been, you know, really enlightening. I love all your perspective you and Debbie have, and I'm enjoying myself, so I'm showing up.
I'm glad you're showing up and you're playing full out. You're giving us every week, you've done the exercises, and that's what makes the difference. You know, I keep mentioning John Maxwell says, knowledge changes your mind, application changes your life.
That's true.
And
yeah.
You're doing it. And I love that word, awfulize. Can I borrow that?
You can.
I love it.
I used to be the worst awfulizer in the world. I mean, it's just no matter, you couldn't even think of how horrible it would be. And then the worst case scenario, if you actually went and did what you were scared to do, wasn't anything near what you thought it was going to be.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. It's just a conversation.
Yeah, it's just a conversation.
Wonderful.
And, you know.
Thank you so much, Linda.
And I love the story about, was it your mother or grandmother says, they put on their pants just like you do.
My mom.
Your mom.
Yeah, my mom always said that. She always used to tell me, vision them naked, but I didn't really like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
just like you.
Yeah. Yeah,
wonderful.
I like that. So,
thanks
no,
so
I'm
much,
having
Linda.
Fun.
Thanks. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to open up the lines for one more person. This is a 305 area code.
Hello, it's Martha. How are you?
Hi, Martha. So happy to have you on the call today.
Oh, thank you, thank you. No, I just wanted to comment that for me, it's all about examples, examples, examples. And your examples are so visual for me. And I'm a very visual person, so the way you explained it, it was fabulous, I have to say. That to me, that's the best technique. And, you know, working on the radio, I know that works a lot for most people. So I think you guys are just great and right on target.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Martha. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you all. I'm going to go ahead. There you go, so we can start again. All right, if you can bear with us for a few more minutes, I have a little bonus for you, and that is dealing with the gatekeeper when you've already gotten in the door. And some of you, I know, deal directly with consumers, and some of you are influencing individuals to join your team. So you may not be going to CEOs and COOs and high-level people. But I know that checking with the spouse and checking with a business partner most often happens after you've made the sales presentation. So it may be a stall or it may be a truly necessary thing to close the deal. So I'm moving into dealing with objections here, and I want to give you just a few pointers when working through this situation, because I know I've had it, and for me, it was one of those that stopped me for a long time. So I'm going to give you I'm going to give you three steps around that. So the first one is, and this goes back to Allison's point, number one is ensure the person can make the decision. Ensure the person can make the decision. Now, when I worked with consumers and I was selling a product, I would simply ask the husband or wife or the partner, are you authorized? Or is it okay for you to make a $200 decision for the family or for the company? So ask that directly. Are you authorized to make a decision for this amount of money for the family? Because once they say yes, they'll be removing the stalling tactic entirely. If they say no, then ask, who else might need to be a part of our conversation? great way to ask it. Who else might need to be a part of our conversation? And then work out how you can include them. Key. So ensure you're talking to the right person. The second thing, and this is true whenever you're dealing with any concern or objection, I use the word objection because it's what the world uses. It's really not an objection. Most of the time, it's just they have something that they haven't gotten clear on yet, so they throw out, I have to talk to my husband or my wife or my partner. So the number one thing you want to do when you get an objection is to acknowledge it. What we often tend to do is we just go into the reason why they're wrong, that that's not true, that, you know, well, I'm a little concerned about the price. Oh, well, it's a great value. No. First thing out of your mouth has to be, I heard what you said. So remember, the first step is responding by acknowledging. You don't have to agree, just acknowledge. And that's true for any concern, question, or objection. So if somebody says, I have to talk to my wife, you might say something like, yes, I can understand you and your wife want to make a joint decision together. Acknowledge. And then come back with what you're going to suggest. And I use this term all the time. Let me suggest this. It's a very calm way. It's not pushy, but let me suggest this. Let's go ahead and fill out the paperwork so that we can stop whatever the problem is, so we can stop you losing money or losing time or whatever it is you're selling. Remember, look good, feel good, save time, save money, make it easy, so that we can stop the problem as soon as possible. And if your wife doesn't like it, we can cancel and give you a full refund. Then shut up. Stop talking. Make eye contact and start filling out the form. And they'll tell you where they're at. But making eye contact is basically your way of, if you don't say anything, silence is agreement. Silence is agreement.
You're on the phone, too. The silence is key.
Yes. Silence is key. So acknowledge their concern and then let them make a suggestion. The other thing I want to suggest to all of you, and this is for every objection you hear, create a list of responses. There is no objection, or probably no objection, that you've never heard before. So prepare for it with a few things you can say. And then get comfortable saying them by practicing over and over so they roll off your tongue easily. You'll want to have two sets of questions here. The first is a list of questions to confirm that the prospect sees the value. Because here's the deal. You need to know, is it a stall tactic or did I not get them to see how awesome this is? And the questions can be used if you're being stalled in getting a first appointment, too, by the way. So probe to make sure you've communicated the value. You could say something like, after they say, I need to speak to my partner, I hear you. How do you think your partner, your spouse, whatever, will respond to what we've discussed today? You could also say, I think I understand. Just to clarify, you personally support the idea, right? That's directly getting them to say, yes, I think it's great. Another one you can say is, I can understand that. Now, when you say you understand, one of the things I want to caution you, and people do it all the time, but this is a minor nuance that makes a difference, instead of responding, and this is for everything in life, friends, instead of responding, I understand, soften it with, I can understand. Because the fact is, I don't understand. I'm not in your shoes. I have not lived your life. I don't come from your experience. So oftentimes you'll hear people say, oh, I understand. And I don't know about you, but in my head sometimes when I hear people say that to me, I'll say, well, no, buddy, you don't know. You don't understand at all. It kind of diminishes what my situation is. So when you use the word, I can understand, it makes it lessen. So I can understand. I haven't been in the exact same situation. I can relate at some level is usually what I say, something like that. So I would say, I can understand that you'd want to speak to your wife. What do you think your wife will say about product X? Do you think your product even believes it'll do what it'll say it, what I say it'll do? Will your partner think it's valuable enough to purchase? So I can understand that. What do you think your partner's going to say about it? Do you think they believe it's going to do what I say it'll do? Do they think it's valuable enough to purchase the product? So all of that, those questions are getting at, do you believe me? Because if you believe me, then it really is you have to talk to your spouse or your partner. If you don't, I haven't gotten the value across. So it's back on me as a salesperson to help you see the value.
And I would also add at that point, remember to stay in the moment and listen to their responses. Don't think ahead of what you think they're going to say. Listen to what they're saying.
Yeah, excellent point. Excellent point. So that's your first set. You want to come up with some questions that you have there. Now, the second thing is, after you made sure that the first person is really sold, the second set of questions is to set up a time to meet with the spouse or partner so that the prospect isn't doing the selling for you. I promise you, they are not going to be as good as you are at it. So here's a few questions. When they say, I got to speak to my wife and all that stuff, you say, good, that's what you need to do then. I'd like to be a part of that if it's possible so that I can answer questions. Sometimes things get lost in the translation. Is that something we can do or not? Direct, is that something we can do or not? Because sometimes they're going to say, well, no, my wife isn't available, blah, 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 blah. You'll also see if it's a stall again. Another one may be, and this is relating, I don't blame you. I would never make a decision like this without discussing it with my partner or my spouse. You know, we talked about a lot of things today, and it'll be difficult for you to remember it all. So I'll make myself available to go over it again with you and your partner. When do you think would be a good time for that? And I might even follow that up with, I have time on Monday and on Thursday, which is better for you? So I'm going to ask a double question. I'm going to ask them, when do you think would be a good time, giving them the idea that it's on them, and then I'm going to come in and ask for the sale. In this case, the sale is the second appointment. So those are two things. Another thing you could say is, okay, here's an idea. You can introduce me to her, and we can go over this together. That way, if she has any questions, I can address them right then. Is she available right now? Right now. Let's get her on the phone if you can. And then you might say something like, great, you're doing the right thing by getting your partner involved because it's an important decision. What time are you both available so all three of us can sit and talk? So just a few to help you get past that objection, because I know it comes up over and over again. Now, we're coming to the end of the session today, but I would like to give you the opportunity to ask some questions or make some comments around, in general, the spouse, the partner, getting past the gatekeeper. So if you have anything or a question you want to bring to the table, something you need support in, or a great idea that you want to share, hit star 6 on your phone. And the first one is the fabulous Dr. Teresa.
Hi, I'm getting used to this now. Okay, if I've had a rejection in the past because the person needed to go talk to their husband and I made no effort like you're describing,
right,
is there any possibility of going back to that person at this point in time?
Sure, why not?
Of course.
Okay.
Why not? I mean, all they said was I have to talk to my husband or wife or partner, and then the next step is you following up. Did you get a chance to talk to your partner? No, I haven't.
Well, I did follow up, and they said no, but I never got to talk to the partner.
Did they say no, not ever, or no, not now?
No, not now.
Okay,
well,
so
then you didn't get no, not ever, so you can continue to pursue them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, it's let's make an appointment for all three of us to talk to each other. And you must be compelling on why. Why is it important to talk to you? What are you going to do for them? Very important. What are you doing for their business? And the more you know about them, the easier you can make that sale. So, yes, go back
to it.
For sure, for sure, for sure. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next, I'm opening in line for the fabulous Yvonne A. Jones.
Hi, Trish. Hi, Debbie,
Hi.
Everyone. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, Yvonne.
I have a situation. Well, first of all, Martha said it well. Those illustrations, those examples are so amazing because I can picture everyone and I can remember them. So thank you, Trish and Debbie.
Oh, my pleasure. And remember, you'll have them recorded forever. You can always go back and listen to them.
Right. Thank you. Okay, I have a situation, an ongoing situation right now. One of my referral networking partners referred me to this gentleman who owns a school. And I did I made one mistake, and I acknowledge that readily. I didn't ask him. We talked. I found out what his goals, what his objectives were, and all like that. But I didn't find out from him, how deep do you really want to go? So I took my time and I did a comprehensive social media plan of everything that, based on his goals, based on what he wanted to do. I completed a beautiful proposal, had it bound and took it there myself, etc. He eventually got back to me and said he could not afford my proposal. And while we were talking, you know, at the day that I dropped it off, we had a nice conversation. And he explained that he had done a lot of marketing and hadn't seen any return on investment, which I understood, and I could feel his frustration. So he wrote back after I said, okay, go ahead and talk about it with your wife, just that we're talking about, because his wife is a teacher at the school. And I said, discuss it with your wife and let me know whatever concerns you have and so forth. And he replied to me that it was, you know, way out of their budget and so on and so on. So I replied that I'm not surprised, because after he told me what have you. So I gave him an option. I said, okay, this is what we can do, and these are where I think you should focus on, blah, blah, blah. Would this be okay with you? And he came back and said that it wasn't in their budget. I said, fine, well, you know, whenever you're ready, I'm here. So he finally wrote me, and I made another suggestion. And then he wrote me, and it was like, half of the tiny, what I had cut it down to, he wanted me. So I replied today, and I said, you know, I didn't say I'm sorry that I can't. I didn't use that language at all. I just said, before I developed my team, I did a lot of this myself, and I know how much time it takes to do the research. And it's not just posting something, but there's more to it than that. Therefore, the minimum I would be willing to accept is XYZ. At this point, I'm leaving it entirely in his hands. I don't feel like I should send any follow-up emails or do anything. What are your thoughts on that?
Go ahead, Deb.
Well, one of the things that I've learned in my business is that not all clients are worth having. And sometimes you can bend over backwards and you think you're giving them the best deal and everything else, and they're still saying, well, no, it has to be less, it has to be less. They basically want it for free sometimes.
That's right.
And when that happens, Yvonne, what I've done in the past is I've said, thank you for your interest in my company. I'm sorry. And I do use the word sorry sometimes. I'll say, thank you for your interest in my company, and it's just not going to work out, and I hope that you find what you're looking for. And and that's the hardest thing you have to do, is give away business, except that you don't have any business to give away. So it's not like you're really losing anything. You really do need to know when to cut your losses, if you will. If it's at that point.
Thank you, and I'm at that point right now where I would not negotiate any further. If he's not willing to go with that, where I had to, I would not go further, less than
right.
that.
And I can understand that, because you've put a lot of attention and effort and energy into this, and it's definitely a disappointment after you did all that work. I get it. He apparently doesn't see the value yet. That's what's happening. When people complain about price, it's because they don't get the value. And he might be someone who needs to dip his toe in the water rather than take the whole enchilada and jumping to the whole ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So what I might do with him is I would bombard him. Not bombard him. Let me take that back. I would regularly send him information that would be helpful to him in his marketing through social media in his business that was sprinkled with lots of statistics that show how much more money people make when they do a social media campaign right. So I would be looking for ways that I could be selling him with third-party credibility on what it is you do and just email them. Thought you'd be interested in this article. And then at some point you can touch base with him again and think of maybe one small thing you can do for him that might be worthwhile for you to do, for him to get a feel. And I don't know what that might be. But you may not want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And you may want to throw the baby and the bathwater out. But only you can decide that. They
right.
may be nickel and diming you because they don't see the value of what you do yet.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes clients, I know for me, sometimes clients will nickel and dime you like that because actually what they're looking for is to get the information almost for free, or they're looking to get it as much as they can from you and either do it themselves or pick somebody else, like, you know, maybe a family member. If they have enough information, they figure they can go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're walking a fine line, and yes, you want to serve people and you really want to be there for them, and on the other hand, you have to realize what your time is. Your time is valuable, and to keep chasing something that is that in your, if you'll know in your gut if it's
mm-hmm.
worth it or not to pursue.
Right.
Yes,
and if it's
thank
not
you.
Worth it, then you need to let it go.
Right,
and
absolutely.
That's okay.
I agree with that because I think what happened, what he told me was, I said, who is assisting? You know, because I could see there was some movement on the school's Facebook page. He said one of the teachers. I said, oh, that's great, and I just left it at that. I said, but if I'm here, if you ever need my support, I'm always here to assist you, and I left it at that.
Yeah, I would continue following up to build relationship. I would not want to lose the relationship because you never know. A year from now, he might say, you know what? I need to have this. I'm ready for it. So
right,
critical,
but not necessarily about price, but just other things to do with that. I can send him
yeah,
communication.
Absolutely,
right.
Absolutely. And then the other thing is you want to make sure, obviously, that you ask that question, what's your marketing budget? Before you
yes.
do any of this, that needs to be your first question.
Thank you for that reminder, because that's what I did not do, and that would have saved me a lot of time.
And really what I also do is after I ask all the questions and I find out about their business, and I need some time to put together a proposal, most of the time I'll say something like, okay, based on what I see here, just at first glance, we're talking about something that's going to run in the neighborhood of $3,000 to $6,000. Am I in your ballpark? I ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm not, I need to know right away. And some of the time they'll say I don't have a budget, and then when I put that question out, all of a sudden they can give me a number.
Yeah, that works every time.
Yeah, so always get to the money because it's important and you're going to want to know it. And even if they say 5,000, you can still sell them 10 because you're so fabulous. But you got to have somewhere to start so you know what you're dealing with, because if you're at 5,000 and they're at 200, you're in the wrong place.
That's exactly what has happened.
Yeah,
so that's the question I'll keep in mind. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Great question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, so gatekeepers, dealing with spouses and dealing with partners and all of that stuff. We would like to give you a couple of exercises so that you can really ingrain this in what we've talked about. So, Deb, would you like to share what the exercises are for this evening?
Yes. What we'd like you to do is, remember again, focus. So that's a key thing. Before you do any of this, focus, okay? Consider a high-level person you want to speak with, one who probably has a gatekeeper, and write down three things you know about the person and or the gatekeeper. And again, you find out this research by going online, going on Facebook, LinkedIn, wherever you think that they would be based on your business, and write down what you learn about them. Write down three ways that you can approach the gatekeeper. Maybe you met at a networking event, or maybe they went to the same school as you did, or whatever it might be. Look for the commonalities. Look for something that you have that you can say, oh, you know, this is great. I wanted to meet you. We both went to the same high school, or whatever it is. Look for three things. I want you to write down three things you can say once you've reached the person. And remember to compliment them by complimenting the gatekeeper. So you compliment, once you get to the person you want to speak with, remember to compliment them by saying what a wonderful receptionist you have, or secretary, or whoever that other person is.
Awesome. So first exercise then is consider a high-level person you want to speak with. and consider somebody who obviously would have a gatekeeper. And then I want you to do three things. First thing is write down three things you can find out about them, the gatekeeper and the person, three ways you can approach that gatekeeper, and three things that you can say once you've reached that high-level person that you're trying to get to. And remember, complimenting the gatekeeper is the first thing you might want to get out of your mouth. So that's one thing. And then, Deb, we have a second one, right?
Yeah, and the second one is consider what happens when they put you off. And you get someone who says they have to check with a partner or spouse. So write down three questions to confirm they understand the value. Make sure they understand where you're coming from, what you're offering, and that they see the value in your product or service. And write down three ways to set an appointment for you to meet. So it could be, let's get together in person, you know, let me buy you lunch, let me bring in lunch, whatever it might be, so that you can actually connect with the person in person would be wonderful.
And we gave you some of those examples earlier. So you can go back and listen to this recording for any assistance.
And we also have, if you know, with the book, go to chapter 3 and pages, I think it's 50 to 60. Look for more ideas and more detailed information. It's all spelled out in the book for you.
Awesome. So second exercise is think about when you get really shut down by the partner or spouse. Come up with three questions to make sure that you've sold them, that they understand the value, and then three different things you can say to set an appointment for all of you to meet. And again, I went through some of those this evening. Because the idea is to have these things so they're in your head and they can come out your mouth. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to get stopped. You don't have to hold your breath. None of that. Because it's just a conversation. In the next module, we'll be moving into one of my favorite conversations, and that conversation is asking for the money because you're worth it, and you really, really should get what you're worth, and you can get what you're worth. So we're going to spend some time in the next module on that. When you do your homework, if you would, email it to us at team, T-E-A-M, at... This is the longest URL you'll ever find. It's justaconversationbook.com. So that's team at itsjustaconversationbook.com. And we will very much be looking forward to those questions and what you're going to say when you get the put off. And we would love to give you some feedback on how you did. Again, congratulations to everyone who's been really playing full out and doing the exercises and getting the information to us so that we can give you some feedback. So keep it coming. For those of you who haven't had a chance, totally get it. Life happens, and pick it up at any time. If you want to go back to module 1 and then do the exercise right now, you don't have to be in module 1 week to do the exercise. So feel free at any time to jump in and do some of those exercises.
And by the way, if you're still following up, which I hope you all are, you can still text me FU, and it's okay. It's okay, you're not hurting my feelings. FU for follow-up, and then the number of follow-ups you did, and I'll get back to you.
Awesome.
And the number is 954-610-1403.
So again, that's 954-610-1403. And I applaud you all for being here, for taking the time to grow yourself. And remember, it's just a conversation. Thank you.